Well, hi, everybody. This is Bill, and I'm going to be sharing a few things in sort of a podcast strategy here, which, of course, is real different than being in person. This is also, it could be considered part of that flipped classroom concept as well, but hope you're enjoying or have enjoyed your weekend. So if you could head to the online class slides for tonight, I have, as usual, on Google Docs, or rather Google Slides, and I have them, or the link to them, on Edmodo. So if you can head to that, you can always stop me anytime you want. By the way, this is called Audio Boom, which is a really very cool podcasting format. I use it for short podcasts. This podcast can only last 10 minutes, so I actually may have to do two. We'll see how this goes. You know, bigger podcasts, I use GarageBand, and you could put music in and that sort of thing. This is just for audio. You know, one track audio, but it could be a great tool with kids or to share with families if you, you know, want to do a quick podcast. And you can embed it on a website really easily as well, which I do. If you go to my school website, hopkinsschools.org/Harold Martin School, I have a what I call the Harold Martin Minute, which is done using Audio Boom. But anyway, the online class. So we'll go to slide two. Just some review quickly. About how one thinks like an assessor. We're looking at pretty much stage two right now with this particular podcast assessment, but we're going to look at it sort of the review of what we've already talked about, as well as going on to formative assessment. So anyway, how does one think like an assessor? That really is very much a formative assessment technique. The second bullet there, how can my students and I change the world through performance assessments? We talked a lot about that in our last class. And of course, user-generated learning, which really I'm not going to cover again in these slides. But if you have any questions, of course, I've got the slides in last week. And I also put the kind of a larger mind map of some of the things I talked about in class as well. So the third slide, little stage two review. So if you want to open up your text to chapter seven a little bit, it might help. Remember, we're talking about stage two, which is when you determine the evidence to assess and evaluate stage one, basically the student achievement of desired results. So we're not even to lesson planning yet. We've talked about stage one, that's EQs and EUs and the knowledge and the skills and the standards. And then stage two is looking at how in the world are you going to assess all that stuff? Next slide. Again, two big things to think about, always keep in your head for stage two, and that's determining acceptable evidence that the kids learned what you wanted them to learn in stage one. And then, again, that concept of formative assessment, thinking like an assessor. Slide six is the template. And again, the GRASPS concept. In the first box, I'd like you to put just a brief description. Again, that box will expand as you write in it or type in it. Performance task description, that'll be sort of what you'll be talking about on the 26th when we get together live once again. And then the GRASPS is the sort of breaking that down into the different parts of goal, role, audience, situation, product, and standards. And then at some point, we'll talk more about this, you'll also want to include other evidence like quizzes and tests and things like that in the last box. And just keep in mind, again, this is all review. It's not a natural process, this whole assessment thing necessarily, or the UBD thing. If you look at chapter 7, beginning on page 151, they show the different sort of a continuum of assessments from checking for understanding, which is that formative stuff, all the way to, you know, more complex assessments or even standardized assessments like, well, the NECAP or now the Smarter Balanced or NWEA or STAR or whatever assessment you're talking about there. And keep in mind another thought, this is slide eight, that we really want to go from snapshot to scrapbook. Smarter Balance, snapshot. STAR, snapshot. Scrapbook would be formative assessments, some more summative assessments, just a lot of different things put together. And if you make it as part of your teaching, your instruction, it doesn't become a chore. It doesn't take too much time out of instruction. So the more we can integrate assessment within our instruction, really the better off it is. Sometimes the students won't even know that we're assessing them at all if it's done formatively. And then the next slide, I won't read it off, but slide nine, some of those basic rules regarding assessment, which we've already talked about. But the big thing is, the big goal here is not generating grades. You're not looking necessarily to grade a child. I mean, that's part of maybe your responsibility as a teacher, but that's not real assessment. It's summative assessment to some extent, but as we know, the ABCDF paradigm of assessment probably isn't the best way to be able to judge if a child has conquered something, especially the 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 numerical thing doesn't make any sense either, because try putting a zero in the midst of a bunch of grades and how that drops you numerically beyond what you should have mathematically. We'll talk more about that. It's actually an interesting concept there. And again, authentic whenever possible for that. So then we get onto the performance task. That's one assessment. That's just that GRASPS performance task that we are talking about. It's not everything. It's just going to be that assessment or assessments that you use when you simply can't judge it any other way. So again, quick facts, you're going to do a quiz, getting somebody's reflection on something. You might, you know, a student might write a journal. But when you're talking about the end of the story there, when you're looking them to actually produce something, to actually show what they know, the performance task is what you want. And then again, the GRASPS slide, that's slide 11, that's just, you know, the tool to flesh out what your performance assessment is going to be. And then the next slide really was just taken from the last class. We talked about some ideas for performance tasks, and you guys did a nice job with that. You had some work due this week. Of course, we're not getting together, so I have a slide at the end that talks about the work overall when we see each other on the 26th. So let's get into sort of the more micro type of assessment, formative assessment. This is the type of assessment you do on a daily basis. It's that checking for understanding, that thinking like an assessor that we really think is important in the midst of teaching. Slide 15 has kind of a nice metaphor for what formative versus summative assessment is. Formative is when the cook tastes the soup, where summative is when the guests taste the soup. So another way of thinking of it is in terms of a restaurant. You know, when the food is behind closed doors and you haven't given it yet to the customer, you're checking it out. You're assessing how good it is. If it's not very good, you might need to add some salt, or you might need to redo the whole recipe. You might need to throw it out and try again if it gets really poor. The true assessment, though, is when the customers, the guests, taste the soup. They taste the pasta. They taste the steak to see if it really is medium rare. I just went to the Barley House today, had a wonderful hamburger with my son, and it was perfectly cooked, medium rare. If it wasn't, I might say, you know, could you cook this a little bit more? Or, you know, really, it's just too rare. It's too red. But if you do your formative assessment in the kitchen, you'll know how good it is. You look at the steak and you see, or the hamburger, and you see how red it is or how cooked it is. So in the same way as teachers, we need to check for understanding for students long before we hold them fully accountable for the information, or even ourselves accountable for the teaching. We need to check to make sure before we do those summative assessments, whether it's our own tests or quizzes at the end of a unit or chapter or section, or if it is the state assessment, which is the biggie usually. And so next up, I'm going to wait till the next podcast. I got about a minute 47. Or maybe I can get this in. Probably get it in about a minute. Here are some examples of formative assessment. And then we're now on slide 17, doing a top 10 list for whatever it is, important takeaways, perhaps with humor. A misconception check. You can give a common misconception about a topic, have students explain if they like it or don't like it, if they agree or disagree with it. These are all just quick things. This next one is very well known, doing an exit slip. That's when you have students reflect on lessons learned during class. You might give them a 3x5 card. They fill it out before they leave. That's kind of like my 3x5 that I give often in class. It gives me a quick check to make sure you've got it. And you can't exit the class, the concept goes, until you fill out that form. Another example, a bio poem, and they got five different lines there, adjectives, important relationships, and so on. That's a formative assessment technique, especially in the area of literature. Opinion chart. You could do it like a T-chart. Support opinions in the right column, list the content maybe in the left column. Slide 22 has compare and contrast. We'll continue on. I'll stop this right now, and you'll need to go to the second Audio Boom podcast coming up with a second link, but surely on my same Audio Boom page too. And we'll see you in just a bit. Thanks.